Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Jane Wiseman, and I'm the duty elder this morning. And if we have visitors with us today, welcome. And we'd ask you to please sign the guest book at the front entrance. And following the service, if you'd like to join us downstairs for a time of fellowship. I just have a couple of announcements to make. Renata will be away on vacation, so from September 26th to October the 14th, but all phone messages will be picked up. And today, Brian is here to do photos for the directory, so if you haven't had yours done yet, be sure to do it. And the elders' lists are in the office, ready for pickup. And Stephen has a few words.
Good morning. Just to remind you about the presentation that we're going to be having on dementia. Now last week, those of you who were here last week, we had a discussion as to when it was going to be. This Sunday, today, 2:00. So, if you can make it, please join us. The purpose of this presentation is to make information available to you as to what help is available to those who have dementia. So, please join us here today at 2:00. Thank you.
I had a little something to add to that. The Big Band Christmas concert. The tickets are going really fast, so if you plan to attend, be sure to buy yours now. And we'll now take a moment to prepare for worship.
Yep, the other one. Sorry. No, it's all right, Josh. I got it. Thanks, buddy.
Good for you, Josh.
We light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence here in our worship, but also as a reminder that my fan is on. Nothing's working today. Also as a reminder that Christ is faithful always, and we can look to that light of faithfulness in all aspects of our life. Let's gather now for our responsive call to worship.
The responsive call to worship is printed in your bulletin. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our first hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 324.
Thank you.
Please be seated. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. People today, they don't like that word sin because, well, there's a lot of preconceived notions about it. There's a lot of past experience in around what that word not only means but carries with it. But the truth of the matter is, if we say we have no sin, if we say we've never stepped off of God's call to us as Christian believers, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, that call is not just for the unsaved, it's for us too. We're called to walk close to God. We are called to be faithful. We are called to have a quality of faithfulness, just like our God does. But God gives us this promise. If we confess our sin, if we confess those moments when we've stepped away, when we confess those moments that we have, in some cases, repeatedly done, God is faithful. He washes us clean. He forgives us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, that your character and your nature is one of faithfulness. You hear the cries of your people for justice and mercy, and you answer our prayers with the gift of your Son, who bears our burdens and truly sets us free. As we gather today, Lord, let us remember this faithfulness that is a central part of your character and nature. Speak to us your truth in this worship time today. Purge us and refine us that we may love and serve you and truly become faithful in our own way because of your faithfulness. Lord, we come before you today to confess those moments when we stepped away from your truth. Fruits of the Spirit, Lord, are not a cute little list to recite, a cute little thing to sing, something that we read and put away. The fruits of the Spirit are what we should be living. It should be the outcome of walking in your Spirit. But if we look at those fruits, Lord, often we see we're lacking. And that's what sin is. We are not forgiving. We are not loving. We are not patient. We are not kind. We are not faithful. Not just a little bit. Not just a lot, all of it. Help us, Lord, to stop this morning. Think about those things. Think about those moments when we've stepped away from your call to us as believers in Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Deliver us. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we now come before you and in unison say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Beloved of God, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It cannot be contained. It must be poured out. Nothing we have done, nothing we will ever do is enough to separate us from that love and that faithfulness of God, God made known through Jesus Christ. We are forgiven in Jesus' name. And our lives have been made new once again. Amen. Join together now and our next hymn, We Have Heard a Joyful Sound, number 681. And during the second verse, I don't think we have any kids today, but I have a story for us all to share. So second verse will take a moment for a children's time. We have heard a joyful sound, number 681. We have heard Please be seated. We do have somebody here. That's good. How you doing?
Good.
All right. I have a present for you. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Michelle, one for you. Put it on your wrist. You can take it out of the bag later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's nice. Okay, so we can carry on from now. Did you want one? You sure? Yeah. Well, I do have one for you, too. It's kind of a Halloween thing, but it's about Jesus shining. And the reason I left you out, because I wanted to see their reaction. I knew you'd be okay with it. We're supposed to include everybody when we do things, as much as we can. And we're told in the Bible that we're supposed to pray for everybody. But often we kind of pray for the things and people that we like the best. Not that I like Michelle more than you, Madeline. But we pick somebody and we kind of, or something or some cause, and we focus on that. And we forget sometimes that people get left out. So when we pray for others in particular, the Bible tells us to pray for everyone. And in some cases, in Timothy, it says enlist some, the poor and the needy, those who are not so well, those who are well, those who have money, those who don't, those kinds of things. Everybody's included in that. And I just wanted to point that out in this children's time today, that we need to include everybody we can in all that we do, especially in prayer. And let's do that right now. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we pray for everyone today. And I know that's a Sunday school prayer to say, I pray for the world, Lord. But Lord, we do want us to be constantly reminded of those things and people that we often forget in prayer. And so as our children are growing and learning, and Michelle's leading them through Sunday school, we ask a blessing on all of them that are here and come from week to week. Help them and us, Lord, learn to always include everyone in our prayers and in our thoughts and in our actions. And Lord, that's a constant reminder, because it's easy to forget people sometimes. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks guys. We'll see you. And we'll sing the last two verses of our hymn. There are two verses left, and we'll sing those. Remain seated. Now's the time when we come to hear God's word declared, and we'll be reading from our scriptures. Before we do that, however, I would like us to take a moment and bow our heads in prayer and invite the Spirit to open our spiritual eyes and ears. Let's pray. God of life, by the power of your Spirit, we really pray you will come within our midst now. Plow into our hearts with your living word in that sense, and very emphatically putting it that way, just plant that seed of your word within us. Help us to hear what you have for us in Scripture this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading, our responsive reading, found in the Psalters, and it's a little bit lengthy, which is fine, because I want us to cover this entire psalm in the sense that it is a psalm of thanks. It is a song of remembering who God is, and it's also a prayer or supplication, if you like, asking God to continue in that faithfulness and in that love. So let's read responsively Psalm 40.
I waited patiently for the Lord. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you give me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. For evils have encompassed me without number. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me.
Thank you, Jane. The second reading today is taken from 1 Samuel 15, that's page 259 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. The background to this that's going to take place is that Saul had been given a list of things to take as tribute during a battle that he was engaged in, directly given to him through Samuel by God. And Saul got all that those items and added to them. So when they were taking things from this city that they had been at war with, he added to what God had instructed him to do, thinking that that would improve things, but God has some words about that. In fact, he even knew it was wrong and tried to hide it, but Samuel was given a word of knowledge about this and responds. 1 Samuel 15, beginning at verse 17. Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But from the spoil, the people took sheep and cattle, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than fat of the rams. For rebellion is no less a sin than divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Our New Testament reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, moving through the end of that into beginning of chapter 11. It's talking at great length and going to be talking at great length about faithfulness and faith. And there's a great long list of people who were faithful, and Hebrews goes on in Hebrews 11 to talk about that. Probably one of the greatest chapters, 10, 11, and 12 in Hebrews that we have discussing this matter of faith. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 32. But recall in those earlier days when after you had been enlightened, you endured hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves possessed something better and more lasting. Do not, therefore, abandon the confidence of yours. It brings great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet, in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible. Our gospel reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, page 16 again in your New Testament. And this is a story that I've read before, and I've selected it today because we're talking about faithfulness. The background to this, I've mentioned again before, and I want to reiterate this. The disciples were a part of a culture that believed in ghosts. They, in fact, believed in ghosts that had escaped from Gehenna, the pit. And these ghosts were believed to be people who had died and had things left undone on this earth. And they wandered around looking for a body to inhabit, to possess effectively, to finish their work. Most of the time, they were incredibly evil. That's how they ended up escaping from the pit. And in this story, when the disciples see Jesus crossing this stormy sea, their first thought is not, what's that? Their first thought is, it's a dybbuk, which is the word for this ghost, this possessing entity. And they were afraid. So when we read that they were afraid, that's why they were afraid. Something was coming to possess them and take them over. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on the other side while he, and this is Jesus, dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I briefly want to read from Galatians. It's an added scripture this morning, but I just want to read that list of the fruits of the Spirit, and that really is beginning at verse 22. So Galatians 5, verse 22, and I'm adding this because it's going to be included in the sermon. "By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, there is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This is the Word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, 677. Please be seated. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. This morning I want to explore this word, hence the sermon title, faithfulness. And okay, before everybody figures that this is the time to fall asleep, because assuming you've heard this term talked about at length already, and being the lifelong Christian churchgoer that you maybe are, I don't want to just review something that we've already know the facts about. What I want to do is explore a concept that I believe we need to understand and practice much, much better. And it has to do with this particular word, faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's not faithful. It's not faithful. It's not faith. Not faith alone, it's faithfulness. And it's intentionally put there. We read it in our psalm. We read about it all through these scriptures. It is what's identified in the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit don't say faith, they say faithfulness. The fruits of the Spirit list does not say a fruit of the Spirit is being faithful. It says faithfulness. And I know we've heard this word millions of times, And we think we know, I believe, what it's all about. And that's basic Sunday school stuff. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's what we assign to that term so often. And we have heard it a lot. We've grown up with it, many of us. But I want to explore the concept today. We believe these words to be true, but do we really know the truth of these words? The implication of these words in our life. I believe that touching that element on a hot stove will burn me. But once I've actually touched it and been burned, then I know it to be true. We believe the truth of faithfulness, but do we really know it? Do we really know what that word is about and what its implication in our life is all about? Are we believers? Are we knowers? And it's easy to be a believer in so many ways. It's different to be a knower. Faithfulness is a word of outcome. Outcome. Galatians 5:22 that we just read tells us one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. And the outcome, or output, if you like, of a fruit tree is, of course, fruit. That's why that analogy is being used. The outcome of walking in God's Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, and here's the list. One of those things in that list is faithfulness. We all know love is great and a great outcome of walking in the Spirit, but we don't want to forget that faithfulness is also one of them. But what is it in its entirety? As I said already, it's not just faith. It's not even being faithful. It's faithfulness. And it's a subtle but important distinction that I want us to explore today. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, I really want you to speak to us today, and I know you will. Help us to put aside the clutter and the experience and the situations we may or may not be in this very morning. Help us to put that aside and really be listening for your voice to speak to us. It's not my words, Lord. It's your words. It's not my thoughts. It's your thoughts. That's my prayer today, Lord. And we do this prayer and say it and believe it in confidence in Jesus' name. Amen. English language is a complex language. Goes without saying if you're trying to learn it, I guess. I like to often start when I'm doing a study and when I'm leading a study and when I'm doing the kinds of things I do here on Sunday mornings, when I'm trying to understand a word, to turn to the dictionary because it gets us at least on a common ground. We all know what the word maybe means, but let's see what the dictionary has to say just to help us build that common ground a little better maybe. I want to deconstruct this word using the dictionary and I want to reconstruct it using scriptures. If we break down the word faithfulness, it's got three components to it. The first is faith. And faith, as far as the dictionary is concerned, is confidence or trust. And remember, I'm trying to keep this out of any context. So I'm keeping it out of religious context. I'm keeping it out of secular context. Just the word itself, it means to have confidence or trust. You can put the in whatever you need to, and we can do that. Full clearly is a suffix that means full of, but more importantly, characterized by. So we have faith, we have full being something characterized by, and then that last word, ness, is not a loch in Scotland, it is not a big monster that lives there. It's another suffix, and it transforms a noun into something that denotes a quality or state. Quality or state. So faithfulness can be redefined dictionary-wise as a quality and state of being characterized by confidence or trust. Faithfulness is a quality or state of being characterized by confidence or trust. That's an important definition for us to hold on to for a moment. And I've left it, as I said, as a dictionary definition because I want us to fully grasp this word on its own, and then apply it into Scripture. That confidence or trust can be in anything, from inanimate objects to concepts to principles to people or to religious concepts or, religiously speaking, a higher being, God. We Christians don't own that word faithfulness. We don't even own the word faith. That word is something we use and we have, and we have good use of it, but it means in a lot of different contexts. To give you an idea, and I was thinking about this even driving here this morning, I have confidence or trust, we all do, in the brakes on my car every time I press that pedal down. The 2 tons of metal hurtling down the road at 120 kilometers an hour is going to stop. I have every confidence that if I step on that pedal, and I want to break that confidence down just as a sidebar to this, because I used to fix my own car years ago. I'm not a mechanic by any means, but I used to do tinker on my car. And when I was working on a car, and a brake pedal had a cable on it that went through the firewall up onto the master cylinder on a lever that pulled a pump that pushed brake fluid into the brakes that made them squeeze closed or drum brakes open up. The cars we're all driving today all have a micro switch underneath them. There is no cable attaching that pedal to anything mechanical in your car. We really have to have confidence in the guy that built that little micro switch and the software associated with making sure that when you step on that pedal, the brakes will come on and the car will actually stop. A little bit of dirt, a speck of dirt in that micro switch, your brakes don't work anymore. A guy like me, with my background, can hack into your car remotely and turn your brakes on whenever I so choose. No. You still have confidence and trust in those brakes? Of course we do. Of course we do. So that's confidence and trust in an inanimate object. And a concept, we have trust that banks, for instance, are going to hold all my hard-earned money safely and I can go there anytime and get it. I have confidence and trust, I have faith that the bank is going to have that money waiting for me because I put it in there. I have confidence and trust in other people so that they'll be kind maybe and loving towards me and each other. That's that confidence and trust in people. And I also have a confidence or trust in God, that God loves me, especially or maybe particularly when things aren't going so well. That's confidence or faith in a higher being. Faith, as I'm trying to point out, is not only about religion, but it's truly a central part of human nature because it's really about trust. We all trust, religious or non-religious, we all trust. We all have confidence in things, people, and elements, if you like. So next time somebody tries to argue about faith being just about religion, it's not. It's not. It's human nature, and it's the core of our human nature. Our relationships, personal and corporate, are more and more often being found out to be anything but trustworthy. We can't have confidence in the relationships that we have so often, it would seem. The people and the institutions that we once trusted are failing us in their faithfulness. Every day we hear about doctors, police, politicians, religious leaders, loved ones, friends, acquaintances, famous people, sports people, they're doing anything but being publicly and privately proven to be untrustworthy, more and more and more. It's undermining the confidence and trust that we have as a culture in so many ways. I mean, anybody that says anything, we immediately want to think, they really mean that? And we're living in a particular time right now through the month of October where a lot of people are making a lot of statements. And are we really going to believe what that person's saying? In the 1960s, it was said, don't trust anyone over the age of 30. But today, don't trust anybody because they're all lying. And it's vividly supported, as I said, by reading any daily news because that seems to be the headlines of late. And I'm not even going to give you examples. Just think about what went on in the news this week alone. I'm sure you can find one or two or 10 or 12. Saul was a great example of what I'm trying to say here in so many ways. He was a man that lived thousands of years ago, and he was specifically instructed to be a king that exemplified faithfulness in God and leadership that he was given by God. But he didn't live that way as time moved on in his reign. He was, as I pointed out in our reading this morning, instructed on exactly what he was supposed to do in a particular offering and sacrifice to God. But Saul wasn't living his life in a quality and state being characterized by confidence and trust in God. He figured he could do better, and he improved on that offering. And when he got confronted about it, what did he say? They did it, not me. The people went in and took all the extra stuff. I just included it. It's their fault. For this lack of faithfulness, he was dethroned. And he and David fought it out for quite a while, and ultimately, he lost. Verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15 is the catchphrase right there. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's the crux of faithfulness. To obey is better than sacrifice in this context. Simply put, faithfulness is better than the show. Doing what you have been trusted with is better than anything else you could add to that trust, because adding to that trust is a corruption of that trust. And that's what Saul was guilty of. And here's what Hebrews 11 says about faith. Faith linking us to faithfulness. And it's a great definition, and it doesn't even have to be a religious definition, although we're pulling it out of a religious document. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Remember, we're talking about faith for a moment. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction of things not yet seen. Confidence and trust. Confidence of things hoped for, trust in things not seen at this time. Confidence and trust, not just in our religious context, but in how we relate to one another. Do we have that assurance and conviction spoken about in Hebrews when it comes to the way we treat one another? And I'm going to say no. We have it most of the time. We have it some of the time, but we don't have it completely. If we did, church would be very different when it comes to the relationships that we foster and have fostered and continue to foster. And there's fallout from that all around us. And I'm talking about church with a capital C. I'm not talking about us in particular in this instance. Why do you think church attendance is down? There is no confidence and trust that this is a place I can come to and be fed by the Spirit of God and not be sidetracked by all the other nonsense that goes on. I don't have time for that. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to go play soccer. I'm going to go watch a football game. I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to go out for brunch. Whatever. Because I'll get more out of that than I will out of this. I've got more confidence that that's going to help me than this will. And I have another hour-long sermon that's not going to get delivered today about that pretext of that understanding of what we expect out of church. Because if that's what we're expecting out of church, we're not here necessarily for the right reasons. But here's where I want to take us when we talk about Peter for a moment. We have been conditioned by unfortunate life experience not to trust. And that's why I gave some of those examples. We've been conditioned not to have confidence. We've been conditioned not to have assurance. We've been conditioned not to be convicted of the good that God has put in one another. We've been conditioned by examples that we hear about every day inside and outside the church about people and institutions that have been far less faithful and trustworthy than they're supposed to be. We've been burned by somebody or something that's left us anything but trusting and faithful. And that undermines our faithfulness, and it undermines our understanding of God's faithfulness. So let's talk about Peter. Sees this ghost coming out. They all see it. They're terrified. And Peter being Peter, I like to think of Peter kind of like me. Words come out before he thinks about it. Stuff happens this way, and then probably thinks later on, I probably shouldn't have said that one. So he's always the first one to speak. That's where I'm coming from with that. They're all terrified in the boat. And Peter says, hey, Jesus, if it's really you, call me out on the water. And so Jesus says, come on. Now, we don't know what Peter was thinking, but if it was me, oops, That was James. No, it was John, not me. Call me out on the water. So what does he do? He does get out of the boat. And it says he took some steps. I want us to think about this for a minute. This is as miraculous a happening as the parting of the Red Sea with the children of Israel. Peter climbs over the side of this boat and steps on the water just like I'm stepping on this. Wow. That's pretty cool. That would be my thinking anyway. This actually worked. But something happens to Peter. Something happens to Peter in that moment. And we always tell the story that we stop looking at Jesus. Yes, he did. But what I want to suggest is what's happening here today is when Peter stepped onto the water and saw that he could stand on solid ground and then he started to sink, it's because he brought along with him his conditioning. And his conditioning said, from past experience, if I step on water, I'm going to sink into the water. I just got out of a boat that was half swamped with water. I know that if I go in the water, I swim. I don't walk. Now he's up to his ankles. And the wind's coming along, and he knows that when the wind blows on the water, waves happen, and things tip over and die. Now he's up to his waist. His conditioning and past experience is telling him that's the truth. And at that moment, Jesus reaches out and takes his hand. Now they're both standing again on the water. And he says, O ye of little faith. The faithfulness should have been here. Looking at Jesus, I mean. Confidence and trust in Jesus' words. Come and walk on the water. But his past experience told him, I can't do that, and he started to sink. Jesus climbs into the boat, and everything calms down. That's how we are faithlessness. That's how the faithlessness in us manifests itself. I know that this person and this situation and this institution, this relationship, I know from past experience it's going to go south. I know. I just know it. And now I'm up to my ankles. I know that every time I talk to that person, they say nothing but hurtful things. Now I'm up to my knees. I know that if I don't do this and they'll do that, that's exactly what's going to take place. And now I'm up to my waist. And we need to reach out to that hand of Jesus and grasp his faithfulness. The faithfulness we read about in the psalm today, the faithfulness we read about in all of these scriptural examples, and the faithfulness that should be a fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and stand up again and invite Jesus into our situation. And we will see things calm down and the seas go to rest again. Stop looking for what you expect and look for the unexpected in Jesus' faithfulness to us. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. We now come with our tithes and offerings, knowing that God longs for us to bring everything that we are, everything we have, to the relationship we have with God. God loves us that much. So let's make these offerings as we bring these tithes and offerings to God today. Faithful God, we thank you for this offering. We pray that you will bless it, use it to your great work. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Flowers that we have today, lovely picture of Pat there, are lovingly even placed by John Dunnett and family, John, children and grandchildren, and loving of a dear wife, mother, and Nana, Patricia May Dunnett, and they're all gathered here. Good to see you all today. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for bringing that picture in, John. I know it's hard, but it's also nice to see Pat's face and know who she is. Today, there's four people that we've been praying for. I want us to continue to do so. Things have not shifted very much for any of these folks, but they're still in very much need of prayer, and that's Bill Officer, who's been declining a little bit, but still hanging in there. And Al Weber, there's been really no change. His daughter and I were talking this week, and Beryl Gorey is another one. She's had the pacemaker put in and is doing, you know, okay with that. But we won't continue to hold her in our prayers. She's hoping to get out here soon, and I told her, take care of yourself, then come here. And be well enough to get here, and we don't need to try using the AED device on a Sunday morning. I'm not practiced up enough, and I don't want to try that. So, anyway, and Fernanda Juris is the other one, and she's still awaiting surgery on her neck. So there's four in particular, but I know you all have some and on your hearts, and this is the time in which we pray for those folks in our lives. So let's do that. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you that we come to you every Sunday in prayer and hold names up to you and pray for others, because, as I said with the children's story, we're here to pray for everybody. Not just people who are sick, to be thankful for memories that we have of people, for loving, caring situations that we find ourselves in, for the relationships that you've blessed us with, for the good things that are happening in our lives and the healing things that are happening in our lives. And we're also here, Lord, to be praying for those who are in great need. So it's a lot of things all in one, but this is our time to be thinking of others in particular, a time to be thinking of those who are in need. And it's not always just because people are sick or wounded, so to speak, but it's because there's things like irreconcilable problems within families that need intervention. Your intervention is the only thing that's going to fix it. There's relationships that people have with one another, whether it's a family member or a friend or a coworker, where I've tried everything and nothing is working. Well, that's our moment to say we haven't tried everything. We haven't tried tugging on God's ear to get the Spirit of God intervening and healing miraculously. Peter can walk on water. If the Red Sea can be parted and people can cross that, you can heal people too, Lord. And so, Lord, we take a moment now and offer names of people in our lives in need, and we do that now. Lord, I thank you for these names that have been offered. And I also thank you, Lord, for how moving it is every Sunday to hear these names offered up. And it's the reflection of the faithfulness of your people, the confidence and trust that your people have in you, in your faithfulness to intervene and heal. It's moving, Lord, to see this act of faith, this act of love, this act of kindness, this act of patience. Hear our words, Lord. Hear our words, knowing that we are trusting you to act, knowing that you will intervene. This we pray in and through the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to continue trusting, and we're going to sing about that. The last hymn today is Simply Trusting Every Day, number 689. We are called to be faithful, to exude and have as part of our character and nature that of faithfulness. We are called to trust in God's faithfulness. In doing so, we will lead a life of peacefulness, of godliness and dignity, seeking what is good and acceptable and right in the sight of God, our Savior. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you His peace in your going out and your coming in, in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until we all come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.